anyone above you. The powers at work in this world are no match for your glory and your strength. Father God, as we come to sit under the inspiration of the teaching that you've given to Pete this morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us to get into that place where we could prepare the soil for you to bring the rain. Father God, we pray that we would hear what you would say today. Lord, open our eyes to see what you are doing. And Father, quicken our hearts to take action and make moves to use the gifts you've given us for right and good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're just going to do some moving around. So, anybody recognise what this logo is on here? Go on in. Fantastic. Talk United. Well, yesterday I had the joy and the pleasure of going to see Talk United, and I went and saw Monty and Lorraine, and they sent their best wishes. They say hello. And Monty said to me one thing. He said, don't cheer too loudly when Talkie scores, because you need your voice for the morning. So when they scored 3 goals, I did not cheer too loudly. But they send their greetings. So, what date's the day today? 12th. How are we all doing on the New Year's resolutions? Did anybody do any New Year's resolutions this year?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I mean, on 1 weekend. Really. Oh, okay, doing all right. Anybody else do any resolutions? How you doing?
In process.
In process. Oh, okay, good. Well done. Well done. Well, I did some research on that wonderful thing called the internet, whatever you call it, and it says estimated that 3 in every 4 Britons will make a New Year's resolution. 3 in every 4. 2 in 5 are keen to make a health-related resolution. Might be less drinking, stop smoking, eat less, or concerned about their mental health. And 12% of gym memberships are made in January. But can you guess how many are cancelled in February? 80% of that 12% are cancelled in February because people give up. Top resolutions, you might recognise some of these. To exercise more, get organised, lose weight, eat healthier, spend more time on personal well-being, quit smoking, learn a new skill or a new hobby, travel more, read more, save more, spend less. All these things that people kept. And I was thinking, what is it for today? What is the message for today? And I was reminded that actually, as I was watching a TV programme, the advert came up. New year, new you. Oh, I thought, fantastic. And then they went on to try and sell me something, a health product, a drink product that would give me more energy, or something that would make my life better. And I was reminded about a verse, and maybe you were too. And it said this, when Jesus denounces the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were only trying to clean the outside of the cup, rather than the inside of the cup. And all these health apps and all these programs and all these adverts about wear this, it'll make you look this, and wear that and it'll do this for you, and do this and it'll do that for you. And I'm thinking, actually, we're just dressing up the big problem. We're not getting to the root of the big problem. And in second letter to Corinthians, Paul wrote this: if anyone is in Christ, he or she and she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it got me thinking that being a new you actually isn't a new thing. They were talking about it in the New Testament. Being a new you. Paul wrote, you are a new creation. If you're in Christ, you are a new person. And I thought, well, what a wonderful New Year's resolution that would be. And off with the old, on with the new. What a New Year's resolution. We talked in that passage that Paul wrote to the Ephesians about old things, getting rid of old things because you've become a new creation. Take on a new thing. Be a new person. Be in a new you. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Love that song. It nearly brings me to tears every time I sing it because it's got connotations for friends of ours. But when we read through the New Testament, we meet people who have become new people. Zacchaeus, that little man who used to take more tax than he was able, should have done, met Jesus. He became a new creation. And he said, I'm going to give things back. Mary Magdalene, the woman who was caught in adultery, was being stoned until Jesus intervened. Sin no more. A new woman since Jesus met her. The woman by the well met Jesus, who was able to tell her all the things that she not only went away a new woman, but she went to her village, and her village came and heard Jesus. And their lives were transformed too. Just a number of examples of people who have met Jesus and have changed from their old self to being the new self. Each one of us have a story to tell of when we met Jesus and what our life was like before and what our life is like now. And down through the ages, there will have been people who were able to say, do you know, Jesus has made this difference to my life. And each one of us have a story to tell other people. And in years to come, there were people who say, do you know, when Jesus came into my life, I was a new creation. Jesus changed me. God, by his Holy Spirit, came into me and changed me. And now I'm able to, ... as a result of that. Is that about right? Yeah? Some of you know, look, you look a bit puzzled. Some of you look a bit quizzical. I'm not quite certain. Is that right? It is right. Oh, good. That's all right. Thank you. I'm glad about that. So you might be wondering who this person is. Well, in the summer, we were away on holiday, and I was reading Ephesians. And got to this passage that we're reading. And Paul's saying about put on a new self. Get rid of your old self and put on your new self. And that got me thinking. Where else in Ephesians does it talk about the old self and the new self? Well, all the way through Ephesians, there's this comparison between the old and the new. And we're going to look at some of them this morning. I'm not going to go anywhere near the old self. I'm going to start thinking about the new self this morning. Because it's the new self that we want to be thinking about. Because Paul at the beginning of that passage says, but you Ephesians, you're not like that over there. This is who you are. And I use that lens of off with the old and on with the new to start reading Ephesians again. And where through Ephesians does Paul start saying about the old stuff and the new stuff? Once you were like this, but now you're like this. And so this morning, forgive me, I'm no good really sitting there like you're sitting there. When somebody stands here and just talks for 20 minutes. I'm much more a visual person. So I hope you're going to go with what I've done, okay? So this person here, and I need my pretty young assistant. Oh, look at that. So this is the new self. This is you and it's me. If you're a Christian today, this is you and this is me. On with the new self. Oh, move back a bit. Fab. New self. Okay? Can you see that? You read it? Fantastic. So what I've done is I've gone through Ephesians and I've picked out some things where Paul talks about new you. So the first thing is Ephesians 1:3, that each one of us, if we're believers, and I'll take the assumption we are all believers, that we're all in Christ. That's who we are. We are in Christ. We've been taken out of the old self, out of the old world of darkness, and we've been transported into this new world that we are in Christ. Now, I did some research, and John Stott, some of you will probably have known the name, but he says this: to be in Christ does not mean to be inside Christ, like tools are in a toolbox, or clothes are in a closet. Okay? So we're not like tools in a toolbox or in a closet, but we are organically united to Christ. As a limb is in the body, or the branch is in the tree, that's how we are in Christ. So we're not tools in the toolbox, separate to the toolbox, or separate to the closet. Actually, we're organically linked to Christ, like a limb is to a body and a branch is to a tree. It is this personal relationship with Christ that is a distinctive mark of his authentic followers. And then I added, not religious, but relationship. We're not about doing things at 10:30 on a Sunday because God only here at 10:30 on a Sunday, which is religious. We do this because we come for a relationship with him. So, to be in Christ. He concludes, Stotton concludes, to be in Christ is to find personal fulfillment. And how many people in our world today are seeking personal fulfillment? To enjoy brotherly unity and to experience a radical transformation. Only then can we be the world's salt and light, sharing the good news with others, making an impact on society, and above everything else, seeking to bring honor and glory to his wonderful name. If we want to do those things, then we need to be in Christ and Christ in us. So the new self, Christ in us. Got that one? Yes, Peter. Hey, good old. You're not asleep yet. So the second one is this: full inheritors of God. We are full. The new self is we are full inheritors of God. Now, it was important to the Ephesians because they were Gentiles. And up until that time, people thought that the Jews had everything, that God was only bothered and interested in the Jews. But Paul, Jesus came. And Paul took the message that actually God was interested in Gentiles. So each one of us needs a smile on our face. Because we're Gentiles. Jesus came for such as us. Okay? So when Jesus talks about things in the Bible, it's us, Gentiles, you and I. So we are full inheritors. We're not second-class citizens. You know, we're not there by any other means than Jesus' grace, God's grace. So everything that God promises for the Jews, he promises for the Gentiles. We're not added on, an extra thought. God didn't go, poor Gentiles. No. Gentiles were there when God was creating all things. God's plan so that we, you and I, are full inheritors. Full, not part-time inheritors, not little bit inheritors. But we will inherit everything that God has for us. That's the new self. So as you sit there today, you are not only in Christ, but you will be full inheritors of all that God has got. Is that good? Oh, good. I'm glad. Can you see I'm getting excited? Excellent. Good. Brilliant. So that's good. So you and I, we are full inheritors. We're not an add-on. It's God's plan that we should inherit all that God has for us. Brilliant, so that's the new self. So the next one is this one. Now I need you to put your hands up. If you've been redeemed and you've been forgiven, I'd like to see a show of hands. If you've been redeemed and if you've been forgiven, fantastic. That's who you are in Christ. That's the new you. We've been bought by the blood of Christ. What was the cost? The cost was Jesus' death on that cross. That each one of us might be redeemed, brought back to God. That we might be forgiven. Not just on one occasion, but lots and lots and lots. And that's not to cheapen God's grace. doesn't cheapen the cost. But God says, come to me. Come to me. And I will forgive you. And Jesus would say, fantastic. My cost was worth it all. So if you've been redeemed, that's the new you. If you've been forgiven, that's the new you. So when we stand here, we are redeemed. We are full inheritors, and we are in Christ. Paul then goes on in Ephesians 1:13, we have received the Holy Spirit as our deposit. Now, I'm not a banker, but I know when I put things on deposit, it's a guarantee for something else. So when we have the Spirit in us, Holy Spirit in us, it's a guarantee for something for the future, of more to come. More to come. God has more for us. The gift, it's a gift for each one of us. We need to accept the gift, take the gift. When we become believers, God the Father, we get God the Son, and we get the God the Holy Spirit. But then there's more. Because God says, but there's more for you. Come and experience this. Come and try that. Come and have this. Come and want that. Gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit are there for each one of us. Because they're gifts from God. So that's the new you, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the guarantee for something else. Next one. If you're feeling weak this morning, this one for you. The power of God is in us. The power that created the world, the universe, that put the stars into space, that put the moon up there, the sun up there, that said, let there be light. That power that created is in each one of us. Because we have God within us. I was thinking the other day, I'm not a medical person, but I think if somebody stops breathing for not a long time, the brain goes and people die. And sometimes people get revived. And often when they're revived, there's something not quite aligned. So they might not be able to walk as well as they did before, or they might not be able to talk as well as they did before. And I can't remember how long that period is. I don't think it's a long time, but Jesus, of course, was dead for 3 days in the tomb. And it says, and the power of God raised Jesus to life. Now that's one thing in itself. But think on this. When Jesus came back to life 3 days later, he could walk properly. He could talk properly. He could do things properly. There was nothing wrong with Jesus in that sense. In any sense, he was perfect again. That power that raised Jesus from the dead is in each one of us. Is that okay? You get that one? Fantastic, good. So, in our new self, we are in Christ. We have the power of God in us. We're full inheritors. We've been redeemed. We've received the Holy Spirit. Then Paul goes on to say, that you are God's workmanship, created in Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. So, each one of us is God's workmanship. He knows each one of us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows us. We are his workmanship to do good works. Not that we gain salvation by doing good works, but we do good works in response to God's love for each one of us, for what God has done for me. I do this. Not doing this to get salvation, because no one can earn salvation. It's a gift from God. So, we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus to do the good works that he has prepared for us to do. So he's prepared things for each one of us to do. And when we know what that is, we then have the power of God to do those things with us and within us. Because we are not left without any power to do anything. God, in his wisdom, gives us that power to do the jobs that he wants us to do. It's great for me pointing this way because I've got no idea what the time is. Only you can see the clock. Well, I'm doing all right. Thanks, Rick. Brilliant. Good. It always made me smile when we used to come here 30-odd years ago. And I remember there was no clock at the back there. There was always one there. And I'm thinking, oh, still the same. Which I've got to say is great, because as a preacher, you look at the clock all the time and think, oh, I've got to get this finished by whatever time. But not this morning. So each one of us this morning, new you, we are saved by God's lavish grace. Ephesians 2:8. Saved by God's lavish grace. That's a really old-fashioned word, isn't it? Lavish. Well, I love saying it, lavish. Because it sounds so exuberant. It's lavish grace. God's not a stingy God. He doesn't kind of like say, well, I've only got this amount of grace, and you can only have a little bit. God's lavish grace for each one of us. He's not stingy. Lavish means to bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities. And that's God's grace. We can't exhaust it. It will not run out. When we fail, God in his grace will forgive us. That's the new you. That's the new self that you are, I am in, you are in. As believers, that's where we are. God's lavish grace is there for each one of us. Next one. There's only another 10 more to go, all right? This is no three-point sermon. Oh, I've got 5 minutes. All right. So the living God's temple, Ephesians 2:22. I'd bear in mind there's four chapters in Ephesians and we're at two, okay? So 2:22, you and I are the living God's temple. So for the Jews, of course, they believe that God was living in the temple in Jerusalem. That's where we met God. That's where they met God. But we, in the new self, when we have all these things, we are the living God's temple. God's temple is no longer built by man, bricks, mortar, wood, stone. But it's made and built by God. Because we are God's workmanship. He has made us. And we, when we are all this, we are his living temple. So when you go to work, or you go to the club, or you go to the library, or you go to the, wherever you go, you take God with you into those places. Because you are the temple in which the living God, not a dead God, but the living God is in. How about that? It's quite impressive, isn't it? I love this. That's why I'm doing it. So here's the next one. Ephesians 3:6. We are full heirs, one body, sharers in the promise of God. This is the new self. Full heirs, we are one body, we are sharers in the promise of Jesus. So what is the promise of Jesus? That's the question I like to ask. Well, the promise of Jesus is this. Salvation is available to everyone. That's the promise of Jesus. Salvation is there. Free salvation. To all mankind. Eternal life. That's worth having. And you can't get it in any bank or building society. Eternal life. And Amazon don't sell it either. But there are other shops available. You can get relationship with God. That's the promise of Jesus. We can have a friendship with God. That's a promise of Jesus. We can have rest. Come to me all who are weary, and I will give you rest. We can have abundant life in all its fullness. That's a promise of Jesus. Friendship with God. We can have the promise that Jesus will return, because that's what he said he'll do. So when we come and we worship our God, we do so knowing as believers the promise of Jesus is all these things. It's available to us. So when we sing our songs, let it be more than just singing songs. It's not community singing. It's worshipping a living God because of what he has done for us and who he is. All these things of what God has done. So, Ephesians 3:12, the new you can approach God with freedom and confidence. How about that? We can approach the living God. We can approach the God who created all things with confidence. You know, we sometimes see kids running up to their parents, don't we? And the parents grab them and pick them up and swing them. A child may run up to the parent. A child may walk up to the parent. They may bounce up to the parent and the parent will swoop them up. Now, not all children have that. But in God, everybody has that image in their head. That is how God wants to receive us. The prodigal son, that lovely image of the father running. Running to the son to grasp him and hold him again. The one who'd gone away from God. And one who'd gone away from the family. That's how God is with us. We can approach God with confidence and in freedom because he loves us so much. The new self. This is us. This is you. This is me. The new self. All these things are you and me today when we are believers in our God. Which is all well and good. But how are we going to show it to other people out there? How are we going to live all these things? It's great having these things, but how are we going to live it? Well, Paul goes on to that when he says to the Ephesians, be humble, be gentle, be patient, be loving. The new self is about being humble. It's about being gentle, about being patient, and about being loving. The world has other ways of doing things. The old self has other ways of doing things. But the new self is about being humble and loving and patient and caring. Paul says, almost gone into a different wrong order now. One of the things Paul says is speak truthfully. Speak truthfully, even when it may hurt. Be truthful. Sort out disagreements quickly. Sometimes in churches we're the worst at this. Sort out disagreements quickly. Don't let the devil have a foothold. Don't let anger get involved. Say what is helpful, building each other up according to their needs. Not always about what I need, but how can I help other people? Say what is helpful, building each other up according to their needs. This is how we can show the new self, because the old self will be more worried about me. What do I want? What can I get out of this? But the new self says, how can I help you? What can you do? What can I help you with? You get that one? Real. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Not just in church, but in life. The old life, the old self, is me, me, me. More, more, more. Take, take, take. The new self is about care, compassion. Looking out for each other, for one another. If we want to make an impact, be salt and light, we just need to be showing some of this kindness and compassion. Speaking the truth in love. Sorting out disagreements quickly in the world. And people will know that we are different. And they will see that we are different. Forgive each other. Just as in Christ God has forgiven you. We're able to forgive because we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven by God. So when people wrong us, we can forgive because we've received forgiveness. Grace of God has been given to us, says Paul. The grace of God has been given to us. So this is the new self. How are you doing? How do you feel about that? You're right. But this is the new self. And we could sit there going, phew, I don't get any of that. I'm nowhere near some of this stuff. But when we're believers, this is what God's done for us. How do you feel about that? Does your speech, my speech, my actions, are they signposting people to God? Am I living in my old life or in my new life self? You know, I've got to, look at these. I've got a lovely pair of old boots here. And they leak. And there's not much grip on them. But they are really, really comfortable. I've got some new boots. And they pinch. And they hurt. But I know in time that I need to wear them. And my point is this. So often, I'll go back to my old comfy shoe boots. When I'm going for a walk on the seafront, when it's not raining and it's nice and dry, I can get away with wearing these nice, comfortable shoes. I can leave the new pinchy ones at home. And I think for me, sometimes I slip back into that in my old self-life because it's comfortable. It's familiar. They're nice. They've got good memories. We took these to New Zealand. We've taken them to America and Canada. I've taken these boots lots and lots of places. But this is old stuff. I need to let go of these and pick up my new pinchy ones. And sometimes the new self is a bit pinchy. It's a bit hurty. But when we are new creations, when we grasp what God has done for us, this is the new self and it will be worth it. So, old self, new self. Maybe our New Year's resolution, or somebody our church calls it a New Year's revolution, is off with the old, on with the new. You got there before me. Fantastic. Off with the old, on with the new. Because this is who, as believers we are in Christ. So summing up, take off the old, put on the new. So may I invite you as a summary to close your eyes. Take a moment and ask God's Holy Spirit, what is it today, Holy Spirit, that I need to do? Ask him to point out to you some of those times when you've gone back to your old self, when you've not signposted people towards God. Just take a moment. Father God, we confess there are times when we've lived more of our old self lives than our new self lives. We confess that we've sinned against you in thought and word and deed, by what we've done and by what we have left undone. And we've not loved you with all our heart, when we've not loved our neighbours as ourselves, and when we've not been signposting people to you by our speech or by our actions. We justly deserve your judgment, but for our sake and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us. And lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways that lead to glory. Create a clean heart in each one of us and put a new and upright spirit within us. Send, Lord God, your Holy Spirit to us to give us power to live as you have commanded us and called us to live through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into your hands. Take us. Renew us, remake us. What we have been in the past, what we shall be in the future through you still awaits. Lead us on. Take us with you. Help us to take off the old and to live in and take on the new self. For your sake and glory, we pray.